This show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. It's all chamber music on the show today. The Illinois Chamber Music Festival has been going on at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington since the 24th and continues through the 11th of July. And we have with us on the show today three of the faculty performers, Lisa Nelson, Nina Gordon, and Mark Clinton, who are all on faculty there, two of them on regular staff and one visiting faculty. And they brought along some recordings of performances already given in the festival, both this year and I think last, maybe. And then we'll preview some of what's going on in the remaining concerts, public concerts, of which there have been quite a few, and there are still a few left to go. It's Illinois Chamber Music Festival on Live and Local today here on FM 90.9. That's become a sort of a favorite chamber piece of mine, of many, I guess. That was the final movement of a piece called Cafe Music by American composer Paul Schoenfield and played here by the Eroica Trio on Live and Local on WYLL-FM. My guests on this portion of the show are faculty members of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival going on now at Illinois Wesleyan University School of Music, and lots of recitals that you can go out and hear. Some of them have already happened. Two of them have happened on Thursday and just yesterday. We're going to have a sample of yesterday's program in just a moment. And then there's quite a few still to come. There's a student concert on Wednesday night and the guest group, Ariana String Quartet, on Friday. And then a combination of faculty and student concerts, one, two, three, four, five, six of them, even after that. So lots of chances for you to go hear some of the product of the work that the faculty members are doing with the students and also, of course, the expertise that they have brought to the festival. With me on the show are co-directors of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival, Lisa Nelson and Nina Gordon. Lisa is on faculty at Wesleyan, teaching violin and viola, and a graduate of the University of Illinois. And Nina teaches cello at Illinois Wesleyan and is principal, formerly principal cellist, Illinois Symphony Orchestra, Kansas City Symphony, and formerly at University of Missouri. How long have you been at Wesleyan, Nina?
11 years.
Right. 11 now. Years, mm-hmm. Yeah. And guest faculty is Mark Clinton, who is teaching currently at University of Nebraska at Lincoln and has worked with a number of quite famous pianists. And we have some recordings of his that I think we can probably share on the program. So thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit, Lisa and Nina, about the festival. How long has it been going? Whose brainchild was it?
We started it about eight years ago, right, Lisa? It's our eighth year. First, we were running cello camp. We started with a cello camp 10 years ago, and then we added chamber music festival, working together on it. Lisa does an incredible job keeping it all organized.
We both work together. It takes a lot of work to run a chamber music festival, and there's a lot of background and as well as the artistic things that go into it. So we're both faculty, and we do a lot of the do a lot of work before the students come to prepare for the festival.
What was the impetus towards deciding to do something like this?
Well, we all believe that chamber music experience is the most rewarding, most wonderful experience that musicians can have. And the earlier start you have, the better it is for your future. So we wanted to train students to enjoy chamber music, to know how to work as a team, And the reward is amazing. We feel students get attached to chamber music to the rest of their life, and it is a big reward for us as well.
I've occasionally asked players who do both solo work and orchestral work and chamber work, and almost invariably after they give the politically correct answer, oh, I love whatever I'm doing at the time, they really come down to saying, I love chamber music the most. Why do you think that is? Assuming that maybe you share that point of view. Mark, you're at a disadvantage here just because you don't usually get to play orchestral music.
Well, no, that's true. But I mean, obviously, I sort of live the life that, you know, whatever happens at the moment, like you said, I love what I'm doing. But I do have opportunities to solo with orchestra, opportunities to play chamber music, and of course, opportunities as a recitalist. Mm-hmm. And you absolutely hit the nail on the head, Kevin. You know, when it comes right down to it, I would prefer chamber music any day of the week, because it's such a rewarding experience to work with wonderful colleagues, for example, like we have at the Illinois Chamber Music Festival. The journey of preparation and coming to an interpretation, and then arriving at the performance and making beautiful music together, it's something that just cannot be duplicated. So for me, I'm one of those who is very strongly in the camp of chamber music being my favorite thing.
And of course, if you're playing in an orchestra, especially Lisa and Nina, you're still making music with other people, but what's different about it?
In chamber music, we're one per part, so we have our own individual parts that we're responsible for, and we're blending with the other musicians. And in orchestra, you have many people of your section that are playing the same parts. And you have a conductor, and in here you're listening, and your ensemble is working together. To produce, you can interpret how you'd like to instead of having to follow a conductor. Your group works together to build the piece how you want to.
Maybe we had better step back a moment and define chamber music, because that's not necessarily obvious.
That's an elusive question, actually. You know, what is chamber music? You know, some people will tell you, well, anything more than two instruments is chamber music, but I would assert that that definitely two can be chamber music. I mean, obviously, as a pianist, you know, I consider duo piano work chamber music. But also, who can say that the Franck Sonata is not chamber music, for example?
How Franck Sonata yeah. for violin.
Right, violin or its Oof, iteration cello. In cello. And, you know, yeah, how can you say that a piece like that, which the piano part is just as equal and as difficult and as intricate as the solo part. I mean, that to me is chamber music too.
Well, I certainly would have thought so. Mm-hmm. So let's say two or more, up to what point? When does it start being semi-orchestral?
When you get into double figures, probably. When you hit 10.
Yes. And when conductor is involved, so that's...
I was just going to say, maybe when you get to the point where it's hard to manage without a conductor. Of course, there are orchestras that manage without conductors.
Right. But often they still double parts of many people playing the same part, where chamber music, we consider each individual part. Each
right.
person has their own.
So mm-hmm. maybe we can say, as long as there's just one player on a part.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Are we covered?
Yes.
I think so.
And there's a certain, so that allows each player to make, to an extent, their own artistic statement
right.
within
right.
the bounds of the group.
Exactly. Yes. It's always that balance between the two.
Because you've got to agree on an interpretation somehow or another.
Yes.
Right. And how do you go about that? Let's say, Nina, you come in mm-hmm. and you want to play the F minor quartet of Brahms
mm-hmm.
a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark comes in and has played it this way for years and years and years, and they're very different.
You know, I have to tell you that when you play with different people, the same music, you play it differently. You don't have your own frozen way. That's how you play it. No, if you play with even one member of ensemble is different, it affects whole group. And that's where it's really beauty of chamber music is, to be able to make every part as a conversation of people, because you don't talk to different people the same way. It is the same about music. Conversation is different if you have different people, different personalities. So I hope it answers the question.
Oh, absolutely. I was just going to say, you know, I think that chamber music is about flexibility, too, as a musician, being able to adjust and adapt and to have that dialogue and conversation and go where the musical experience leads you at any given time, which is going to be different, as Nina said, mm-hmm. depending on the performers. And I think that's why there are some musicians who perhaps don't feel as comfortable in chamber music as they do in solo playing, for example. Because in solo playing, you know, you can pretty well, you have your interpretation, you walk out on stage, you do what you're going to do. And sure, you can change with the moment, but you don't have to react to anyone else. It's just yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, but even that isn't always true, because if you're solo playing with a pianist, of course, then it's already chamber music, but you've got to negotiate with them, essentially. If you're solo playing with an orchestra, you still have the orchestra, you right. still have the conductor, and if there are some pretty famous stories about certain conductors and soloists at odds with each other.
Right, of course, and you've always got that dynamic, yeah, between the soloist and the conductor and who's going to be, whose interpretation is going to be the predominant one. But, no, I was speaking primarily of being a recitalist. You know, you walk out on stage as a solo pianist. In recital, you're responsible for yourself and no one else, you know. And in chamber music, that's what I love about it, is that reaction that has to happen mm-hmm. and that flexibility that has to be there. Of course, I never disagree with Nina on interpretation, so she's very easy to play with.
Never, I'm sure.
No. Never, actually. She's very easy to play with, and I mean that. I really do. But
well, the pianist is in that unique situation where when you're a soloist, you're a soloist. There's
exactly.
nobody there. You're on your own. You either hang yourself out to dry or
you make it work.
You're there in great triumph,
right.
yeah, and you can claim the whole thing. Well, you brought along a recording from a previous collaboration between the three of you and two other faculty members, one of whom is returning to the festival, Julieta Mihai. John Lindsay is here this year or not?
Not this year.
Not this year. This was from 2006, mm-hmm. and I mentioned pretty deliberately the F minor quintet of Brahms. I think I said quartet. F minor quintet of Brahms. Here's the opening movement, or at least some of the opening movement of this work. Lisa Nelson is on viola, Nina Gordon on the cello, Mark Clinton on piano, and we have Julieta and John on violins. And you're hearing it on Live and Local from the 2006 Illinois Chamber Music Festival at Illinois Wesleyan University.
Thank you.
That's some of the opening movement of the Brahms F minor piano quintet, his opus 34, Johannes Brahms, and a performance here from the 2006 Illinois Chamber Music Festival at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. And the performers here, Julieta Mihai and John Lindsay on violins. Lisa Nelson played viola, Nina Gordon cello, and Mark Clinton piano. And Lisa, Nina, and Mark are all with us here on today's Live and Local as they are engaged in the 2010 Illinois Chamber Music Festival, which goes through the 11th of July. And lots of recitals coming up that you can still go here, including, what's the first one? I missed my page here.
The Ariana String Quartet is this coming Friday.
And they are your guest group.
Yes. And we also have a student concert on Wednesday. It'll be the first student concert.
Well, let's not look over the student concerts because that's a big portion of what you're doing. I mean, it's the Illinois Chamber Music Festival and camp.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the camp.
We have this year about 40 students from all over the United States, including two students from Puerto Rico. We have some international students as well. And they're here for these 2.5 weeks to get training on chamber music. And they've only been in coaching for a few days, but they're already performing on stage for the faculty, getting comments, starting new groups. We see them all over the building just going crazy with their with new music and having a lot of fun already. So,
how many of the students who come to the camp have actually had much experience in chamber music?
I don't think it's so common in high school programs. We do have also some college students, so they have a little bit more experience with chamber music. But for some of them, it is their first time participating in chamber music.
And how do they react to that for those who are first-timers?
they do really well. It takes a couple days maybe to get used to listening and the aspects of teamwork, but they become addicted very quickly.
Addicted, I like that. do they come with music prepared? I mean, do you tell them the things they're going to work on? We place them
in two groups, two halves of the festival. We send them music ahead of time. They're supposed to prepare it with their teacher and come ready for the first rehearsal. But we find that many of the groups have already, they're looking through music that we have a library in our studios of lots of extra music that they come looking through for duets and trios in addition to what they've already been assigned to play.
So they're going to have to learn some stuff when they're here.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the structure of their day. How much classwork do they have, coaching, and then practice time on their own and free time?
Every day they have coachings with faculty and rehearsal time on their own. Faculty usually rehearse in the morning while the students are doing their own rehearsals. And the students also come to observe the faculty rehearsals, which is kind of nice for them to learn from watching the faculty rehearse on stage. And then in the afternoon they have their coachings, and we have a special time in the later afternoon. It's called open studio class. It's kind of like a master class or studio class type setting where groups come on stage, they perform part of their piece they've been working on or a work in progress, and they get comments from all the faculty members, not just their coaches. They get experience playing on stage, kind of the nerves get worked out a little bit. They get used to the acoustics of the hall and just playing in front of people. So when they get to the performance, they have that experience already. We also have a lot of, we have some elective activities for them and recreational things in the evenings, concerts and master classes and ice cream socials. And we're going to the local water park one evening. We have a talent, no talent show. So we make sure that they, and international dances, we have an Irish dance. We have an Irish band coming to teach our students how to do an Irish dance and with a live band. It'll be really fun. So we try to get them as well away from their instruments because they are playing a lot and they do get excited. And we want to make sure that they take time to run outside and have opportunities outside of their instruments playing time.
You mentioned that one of the opportunities that opportunities they get in the group coachings at the end, where you have all the faculty come on, is to get some of the nerves worked out. Do you, in the process of the week, deal at all, or for that matter, in private lessons, either here or during the regular school year, do you deal at all with strategies for managing anxiety, stage anxiety?
The main thing is here to let them perform and to find their own comfort on the stage. There are, of course, remedies, how to breathe, how to prepare yourself mentally, but you cannot teach it in the classroom. The best is actually physically to get on the stage, to perform to other students, to make fool of themselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's a good learning experience mm-hmm. as well. And they see each other progressing. They see that every time they go on the stage again, they feel more comfortable, they perform better, they can put themselves together faster. So I think that's most important thing is to let them perform and to find themselves how to do it and how to start enjoying it. We see it in the cello camp, we see it in the chamber camp. Stage experience is very important. You cannot learn it in a practice room or classroom.
And this is a very supportive environment. It's a non-competitive mm-hmm. camp atmosphere where they're getting a lot of positive feedback from their peers and from the faculty members.
Maybe you said this a little bit, but are they assigned to groups when they get into individual chamber groups when
yes,
they get here?
Yes, we place the students by their age and their level experience into groups. So if we don't know the students, they have to send an audition tape for placement into groups. And
so you say, you know, you guys are going to be in this quartet, string quartet. You guys are going to be in this piano
yes,
quintet
right. and
or whatever.
And we send them the music ahead of time so they can work on it and be prepared.
But if they do want to work on other stuff,
yes.
they can do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is that what happens on the student recitals, or are those programmed in advance also?
We won't know exactly who's playing in what concert until a few days before, just because groups work at different paces and may have a movement worked up at different paces. But most of the performances are the groups they've been assigned, but there might be some additional groups that have started during the camp that also perform as well.
Have you had some kids decide to do sort of ad hoc performances? Where they get the groups together and say, well, I'm not scheduled, but let's play here for these people.
Sure, they perform for their peers all the time. Sometimes we go downstairs and hear a whole group of people surrounded.
Really?
So, yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. While we were listening to the Brahms Quintet, you were laughing actually right before, and I didn't hear this until you clarified for me that Nina said something about wishing we could do the piece again because you wanted to do something different.
Differently, yes.
From what you did in 2006.
Well, it was, we were very happy with our performance back then, but it's interesting how after a few years pass, you start to think a little differently. You change. Everybody changes. And when you change, you think you would express your playing, your feelings in the music differently. So we were looking at each other and agreeing.
So I guess that means we need to play it again.
Yes.
Well, but I was going to ask, you have, we're going to play next a performance of a work by Robert Schumann that you guys just played yesterday.
Yes.
And so I kind of wondered how much of that is growing as individuals and thinking about a piece differently, and how much of that is experiencing each other more. And so you react to each other differently.
That's a good question, because I think it's a combination of the two. But it's interesting that you should bring that up, Kevin, because we were talking yesterday after the performance that one of the nice things about this festival is that it brings back very frequently a core group of players who've been here previously. And for us, it's kind of like old home week, you know. It's we come back and we see these people that we've made music with before, and we look forward to it, you know, every year. And consequently, because we've worked together before quite a number of times, we seem to pick up the musical vibes much more quickly. Yeah, there is something to be said for having worked together in the past.
So preparing the Schumann piano quartet, did that take any less time for that reason than doing the Brahms a few years ago?
Yes, definitely. Yes. I think we put it together in 3 days.
It came together much, much more quickly. Yeah, right. I think so.
And is that because the piece is easier to do? Or mostly because what we were just talking about?
Definitely not because it's an easier piece. No, I think it's because the players have all worked together before. The first violinist, Mihai Kravianu. That's a difficult name for me to say.
Romanian. I was going to ask, how do you say
it?
Kravianu. There we go. Yeah, thank you. Mihai, he's Mihai to me. You know, we've worked together before. And obviously Lisa and Nina and I have worked together many times before. So,
well, let's hear, I think we're going to hear the third movement from the E-flat piano quartet of Robert Schumann. And this is
Bicentennial
of his birth. Mihai Kraiovanu is the violinist, and Lisa Nelson, viola, Nina Gordon, cello, and Mark Clinton, piano. The latter three are my guests on today's edition of Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
That was from a performance just yesterday at the Illinois Chamber Music Festival at Illinois Wesleyan University of the Robert Schumann E-flat Piano Quartet featuring Mihai Craiovanu, did I say that right? And on violin, Lisa Nelson viola, Nina Gordon cello, and Mark Clinton piano, all faculty members at the festival and camp. And, of course, they played the complete quartet on that concert. And there's lots of concerts still coming up, including one by, they're listed as a special event by a guest string quartet, the Ariana Quartet. And we'll talk more with my guests on Live and Local in just a moment. Our programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible by the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting The Tempest, The Merry Wives of Windsor, and a new adaptation of The Three Musketeers. From June 24th through August 8th at the Ewing Manor in Bloomington. Information at can be found at thefestival.org or 309-438-2535. Do you have a guest ensemble at every festival?
Last year we had the Pacifica Quartet come in. They gave a special presentation. They worked with the students and gave a master class and performed several pieces. And this year we have the Ariana, who will also give master classes and give a full concert in the evening.
And the previous 6 years, did you have guests
We've
as well?
We've had various guests, not as many full ensembles, but various guests come in to give master classes and to work with the students and also perform with the faculty.
And string quartets, because they're most often the existing ensembles, it seems that there's not that many working professional ensembles like the Eroica Trio, for example, I played at the beginning. There's not that many piano trios who just work together all the time, right?
Right. Well, we have a lot of string students as well, so it's great for them to hear. We do a lot of piano ensembles on our own faculty concerts, so it's great to have a string quartet come in who works together full-time and has regular rehearsals so often that the students can see how a string quartet works and how they prepare and the performance that they give.
So they do get to see them in rehearsal?
They get to hear we do kind of a question-answer session. They can ask the quartet questions about how much they rehearse and what their schedule is and a little bit about their performances and their traveling, so they can learn a little bit about the life of a string quartet player.
And will the Ariana coach any of the quartets at the festival?
Yes, mm-hmm. They'll have master classes on the afternoon before their concert on Friday.
And where the Ariana Quartet from, and how did you choose them to be your guests this year?
The Ariana String Quartet's from St. Louis area, and we had some personal connections, I guess, with knowing some of the players in the quartet, and they were excited to come to our festival, and we're very, very happy to have them.
Okay, so they're playing an all Beethoven program this Friday. All these concerts, is everyone at Westbrook Auditorium?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At the Presser Hall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the Illinois Wesleyan campus in Bloomington. And they're playing an all Beethoven concert. In fact, they are three quartets from his Opus 18 cycle. This is not the Ariana playing. We don't seem to have recordings of theirs. But here is the Cleveland Quartet, fairly recently disbanded. It was the Cleveland that disbanded, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Several years ago. And this is the scherzo from the second of the Opus 18 quartets, Cleveland Quartet here, just to give you a preview of some Beethoven for Friday's recital on Live and Local. Some music by Beethoven. That's the scherzo, the third movement from his Opus 18 number 2 quartet, played here by the Cleveland Quartet. You can hear that complete work and two other Beethoven string quartets played by the Ariana String Quartet at Westbrook Auditorium in Bloomington Friday night at 7:30. That is the special guest event on the rest of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival. recital schedule. There's a faculty concert then on Sunday, the 4th of July, in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. And one of today's performers is involved in one of those pieces. Is that one of the pieces that is happening, Lisa? The somebody Kimber. Who is Kimber?
Michael Kimber is a violist who has written some pieces for viola ensemble.
And it's for viola quartet.
Yes.
Which ought to be, you don't hear those very often. I bet there's not too many standing professional viola quartets.
Right. We thought it'd be something fun for, especially for our viola students to hear.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just fun pieces, so.
Do you try to find things like that, you know, just to give some kids different than the standard configurations, you know, piano, trio,
quartet? Like to have some variety in our programs. And I know some of the students this year were interested in doing some viola ensembles, so we thought it would be fun for the faculty to play as well.
And then on Wednesday the 7th, so that's looking ahead a bit, Mark Clinton is involved in a performance of the Schumann Piano Trio. There's a number of Schumann pieces on the schedule because it's we're still in his 200th birth year. 1810, the year of his birth, 1856, the year of his death. And then you're going to be, I guess, a different pianist involved, but Nina and Lisa are both involved in the Schumann Piano Quintet. It gets confusing because both the quartet and the quintet are in E-flat, and I always get the two mixed up, but we should not do that. That'll be the final concert on the 9th of July. And you can look at this schedule by, what's the easiest web address?
Well, if you Google Illinois Chamber Music Festival, that's probably the fastest way to get to our website. If you have any questions, you can also call 309-556-3547. We can send you the schedule.
Yeah, that's how I found it. I tried to go through the Illinois Wesleyan University site, and that wasn't productive. But just
If you just Google Illinois Chamber Music Festival, it'll come up.
Want to give a quick calendar of some other events you can go see and hear for the next couple of days in our area. In fact, some of them are in Bloomington Normal. Denise LaGrassa is performing, she's a singer-songwriter, playing at the Normal Trailside Market Series in Uptown Normal this evening, well, I guess this afternoon from 3:30 to 5. Then she's playing Tuesday at the Farmers Market as well. I don't have a time for that. Jim Markham Swing Band is doing the Music Under the Stars series at Miller Park Bandstand tomorrow night in Bloomington. Again, I'm not sure of the time. I'm assuming the usual 7 o'clock or so. Dan Pearson Combo is going to be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. And Road Song Duo is going to be at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tomorrow evening at 5:30. And then we'll look ahead later on in the week as we progress. On tomorrow's Live and Local, we will be talking with a composer-performer named Rodney George Peacock, who is doing a number of shows at Follinger Auditorium at University of Illinois here in Urbana-Champaign, including his Noontide Trilogy. He'll be with us, as well as two other performers in that trilogy, and also talk with Robert Vaughn, who is director of Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield, about their upcoming concert series, which has a lot of variety on it. Wanted to play, since I have it here, and since we're talking about standing versus not standing chamber groups, as opposed to people who play regularly with each other. Mark Clinton has a CD out of the music of Germaine Taillefer, who was a French female composer of the 20th century. And these are two pianists, Mark and Nicole Narboni. Do you perform with some regularity or not?
Well, I suffice it to say that for quite a number of years, a large portion of my professional activity was funneled toward the Clinton-Narboni duo. We, you know, as these things have a way of sort of running their course over time and groups move on in other directions, we don't perform anymore, but we have left somewhat of a recording legacy, I suppose, several recordings of, I think, interesting works for two pianos that are not as well known, and this Taillefer recording happens to be one of them.
Well, I would say that probably every one of these pieces would qualify as not well known.
Exactly, and I probably should clarify that a couple of the works on the CD had been published previously, but when we made this CD, at the time, probably 80% of it was not published.
Really?
Yeah. And has since been picked up by a small publishing company, but it's still not widely available. But some really wonderful two-piano writing.
Well, you'll hear the piece we're about to play, you'll wonder, well, why isn't this stuff better known? Because, you know, most of the composers of the group known as the Six, or Les Six, of which she was one, she's the only female member, are not all that well known. Poulenc and Millot, I guess, are the two that are probably
and,
best known.
And Honegger occasionally gets some mention, but yeah, you don't really. And Taillefer was sort of a historical footnote, as you said, being the only female member, and she really deserved a lot better.
She's written a lot of great music. So this is a toccata of hers. Are you playing four hands or two pianos?
Two pianos.
And it's Nicole Narboni.
Narboni, that's correct.
With Mark Clinton here on Live and Local. Toccata by Germaine Taillefer on FM 90.9. Well, Mark Clinton had described that as a bubbly piece, and I would say bubbly is good, but also perpetual motion, and it just sounds like it would be very difficult to just keep that all going. It
requires a lot of energy.
And then also to sound like you're not too distinct, so distinct performers that it's not together. That was a really nice, tight performance.
Thank you.
Mark Clinton and Nicole Narboni, the Toccata by Germaine Taillefer on Live and Local. And that's a different kind of chamber music. Don't usually think of two pianos as chamber music, but I guess it is.
Sure.
Why not? Talking about a chamber music festival and camp going on at Illinois Wesleyan University. Are the students here for these whole weeks?
Yes.
So this is a three-week camp?
Two and a half week camp.
They arrived
on the 24th.
That's a nice immersion.
Yes, yes.
For students. All high school and some college?
High school and college, and there are a couple younger, a couple junior high students, but mostly high school and college.
And there's a student recital Wednesday night?
Wednesday, and I think we'll also have a faculty member, violinist Sunik Lee, who's from Korea, will also be performing on that as well.
Is that at 7:30 in Westbrook Auditorium?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for the complete schedule, check out Google Illinois Chamber Music Festival, and it's all on there. Well, Lisa Nelson, Nina Gordon, Mark Clinton, thanks very much for coming and doing the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's fun to hear about it and hear how you work with the students a bit and to hear some samples of music you've played and that's still to come on the program. I guess I said who's on tomorrow's show. I'll tell you that support for today's programs comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana. With wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer, wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. Quick look at the weather forecast. Mostly sunny this afternoon. A high of 85 degrees is expected. Tonight, mostly clear sky. Cooler temperature with a low of around 60. Tomorrow, sunny. High near 79 degrees. And the outlook for Wednesday, high around 77 under a mostly clear sky. Should be a splendid week. Currently 84 degrees. The Writer's Almanac is next.